Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Here on this Featured Artist Friday, it's the Eagles, chosen by you, the people. Rock and Roll Hall of Famers, anything you want to hear from them, send your request, pause for text line. Bob Haney, V. Serrato, Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. Ravens rookie camp, rearview mirror, OTA's coming up a couple of weeks. Schedule comes out next Wednesday. Here to talk about all of that and more from the Baltimore Banner. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome into the show, as we do every Friday, Jonas Schaefer. Jonas, what's up?
Morning, fellas. Thanks for having me. How's it going?
It's going all right. And look, the Justin Tucker situation, and you guys have written about it a lot, situation kind of downplays it. But the way the Ravens worded his release, thumbs up, thumbs down. A lot of people were saying that maybe there was a lot of ass kissing where there shouldn't have been. It should have been more businesslike. How do you think the Ravens handled the dismissal, quite frankly, of one of the most popular players in the history of their franchise?
Yeah, I probably would have liked to see less ass kissing. Obviously, I understand the legal implications of kind of, you know, this notion of double jeopardy in the NFL, where if you mention the investigation in a release, then that means that, you know, he's already been punished, and that means that he can't be suspended by the NFL. And, you know, it's stuff that's beyond my pay grade that is related to the NFLPA and the collective bargaining agreement and everything like that. But, you know, I think you can tell the guy in private how highly you think of him and then just leave it to everyone else's imagination in the release. Obviously there is a much stronger affinity for Justin Tucker than there is for, you know, the anonymous massage therapist who we've talked to, who are accusing him of this heinous stuff. So I understand that from that line of thinking, but I don't think it should, you know, I still think that there should have been a little bit more restraint, I guess is what I'll say.
Hey, Jonas, I know you did the background article on Mike Green. What did they do the right thing? What did you find out anything on Mike Green that would raise red flags?
From that article, no. Let me walk that back. It was interesting in talking to Charles Huff, the former Marshall coach, now at Southern Miss, that he had been warning him basically as far back as last summer that you are going to have satisfactory answers for the question of what the heck has happened with these two sexual assault allegations. So for Ian Rappaport to report after the Ravens drafted him that there were teams who had taken him off their board because they did not find his answers satisfactory was pretty interesting. I should preface what I'm about to say with the other revelation that, like, all the coaches that I talked to were not just forthcoming to me about how much they loved Mike Green, but the fact that they even got back to me, I think, was a pretty big credit to just how much they believe in him. But yesterday on our podcast, the Anna Ravens podcast, we had on a guy who has some connections to the scouting industry, and he said that one team that he talked to that had interviewed Mike Green, when they asked him whether he did it, basically, he said it doesn't really matter. Which to me was, you know, again, it's secondhand or thirdhand or whatever it is, but that, if in fact was the case, was pretty shocking.
All right, on another one, do you think they signed Notaboom because Emory Jones' shoulder?
I think they're probably already in the market for a swing tackle. You know, that they brought him in. I guess they probably had to know about Emory Jones, and I think that's a lingering injury, so they knew, you know, from as far back as the pre-draft process that was something that they were going to have to deal with. So I think, obviously, you're talking about 200 guys right now because Nokum has not had exactly a clean bill of health for the past couple of years. So, you know, those are both calculated risks, I guess I would say. And also, you know, it sounds like the Ravens don't even really know where exactly Emory Jones' best position is. So it's not like you can say that this guy was a backup, a insurance policy for that guy. When we don't know if Emory Jones is going to be a tackle full time in training camp or a guard full time in training camp. So you just hope that, you know, he does get 100%. It sounds like, you know, there was the expectation that things will be back to good by June. So you just hope that, you know, with the time that he misses in OTAs, in rookie minicamp, does not potentially prohibit him from making a run at either starting job inside.
Now, do you think that they would go after Jadeveon Clowney at all, Jonas?
I'm conflicted on that. When it comes back to bringing in these proven veterans into a room with a lot of young talent, and obviously opinions on just how talented that young talent is can vary, but you know, I think Steve Bisciotti is very much a let's play the young kids kind of owner, especially when he has invested so much draft capital in those guys. And, you know, you want to see Mike Green play more. You want to see what Tavius Robinson can do in year three. You want to see what Adisa Isaac can do in year two. You want to see, you know, if David Ajabo, being 1 year further removed from that ACL, is anywhere close to as close to as he was beforehand. So I think Jadeveon would make sense in Baltimore. Obviously, you know, we're probably at this carrying capacity right now with the six outside linebackers being who they are. But I also, it would shock me if like the Ravens were more seriously interested in terms of cash than like the Washington Commanders, who do not really have any edge rushers and do have a need for someone who could set the edge and also contribute on passing downs in this, you know, kind of rough and tumble NFC East. So would it shock me if the Ravens really had serious interest in Clowney? No, but I do think that there are probably more teams that can offer a lot more as far as, you know, fulfilling the kind of needs that the mercenary knows to get in Clowney likes to invest in.
Jonas, what else will Eric have to add to this roster before, I'm guessing, before we go to camp?
I guess you could say like it would surprise me a little bit if they don't bring in like a veteran kicker just to kind of keep Tyler Loop honest. You know, there is a world that exists in which Tyler Loop just is not very accurate as a rookie in training camp in year one. And if the only guy that you have pushing him is a even less heralded rookie, then you're kind of, you know, screwing yourself. And then I think on the more practical side, probably just defensive tackle help. You know, I think they need another nose tackle. I don't know if someone like Tyre Tart would be in their price range. But I do think that just having those three defensive linemen and then really nothing after them, unless you're convinced that like CJ Ravenel, who's probably more of a 3-tech, 5-tech than a 1-tech, can be something for you, is a little bit dicey. You know, I like the size of the Auburn guy that they brought in, Jones, the undrafted free agent, but obviously I think you're one injury away from those guys being a really serious crunch injury-wise, the roster-wise.
Jonas Schaefer, Baltimore Banner. Jonas, what's happening on the website as we head into this Mother's Day weekend?
Yeah, just, you know, obviously winding down the Justin Tucker stuff, it sounds like, but you know, next week we've got the schedule release, so that finally will give us something else to talk about. That seems like a very, very long break between rookie minicamp and OTA, so we'll try to find something to kind of fill the time with. My colleague Gianna is working on the Malachi Starks feature that should be coming out hopefully soon, so yeah, keep an eye out for that.
All right, schedule's not out yet. I'm going 13-4. How's that sound? Can we get that started? Let's get it started 5 days in advance. 13-4, Jonas.
Christmas Day too, Jonas.
Oh my God!
No, I was kind of dreaming up what the schedule could look like next year, and I couldn't stop myself from sending the Ravens to Lambeau Field on Thanksgiving Day, which would just be wonderful for my family, which has already lost me for the past two Christmases.
That sounds super terrific there, Jonas. Yeah. Schaefer. Jonas, appreciate it as always.
Thanks,
have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next Friday. There's Jonas Schaefer. We'll come back, whip around. Capitals got a much-needed win later in the evening in the Stanley Cup. Ice Edmonton got a dramatic win, now in control. NBA hardwood. T-Wolves get back in the series. But, you know, Golden State, without Steph Curry, you kind of expected that. A couple of games tonight, we'll get into that. In this day in Orioles history, only a couple of games. But they're good ones. I'm not going to talk about losses. We want to talk about losses. We'll talk about what happened yesterday.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport.
Every game.
Everything.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Harford County.
Time for the whip around here on this Featured Artist Friday. It's the Eagles, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Nolan McGraw's on the other side of the glass. Talking yesterday during the show about the Capitals must win situation, game two against Carolina. And they came out and, well, they must win. But one guy in particular kind of set the tone for that night.
The Capitals clear. It's Protas with an empty net. It's blocked by Burns. Wilson scores!
ESPN on the call.
Yeah, Tom Wilson was awesome. I mean, Bob, we talked about yesterday that they had to win. This was a must win. And when the game started, nothing had really changed that much. The beginning of the game, Carolina was dominating again. And then towards the end of the period, things kind of opened up a little bit more for the Caps, and they had more room to skate, and they were getting much more offensive ice time. And they dominated the second period, totally dominated the second period. McMichael scored, you know, he stole it, got a breakaway, and made a beautiful shot. And then Carlson scored on the power play. But Logan Thompson played spectacular. So it was a really good game for the Capitals, you know, and they kind of got back to what they do well. They're much more aggressive in the offensive end, kept the puck in the offensive end much more. But Tom Wilson was blocking shots. He made two really nice blocks on Stahl, you know, but it was a good game for the Caps. Now, Saturday night, 6 o'clock, that's going to be interesting. But if they can play their game, which, you know, Carolina just smothers you. I mean, I think the shots were like 5-4, you know, after one, and it was 0-0. And then the Caps had quite a few shots in the second, but, you know, Anderson only had 20 saves for Carolina in the game, but it was a good game for the Caps.
Game three tomorrow night. What's the home ice advantage like for the Hurricanes?
It's one of the loudest, craziest facilities, hardest places to play in the league, Bob.
Last night, Edmonton in overtime, they stunned the Golden Knights 5-4. Leon Draisaitl got the game winner. In OT, the Oilers, all of a sudden, after looking shaky in their first two playoff games, they're now two wins away from the conference finals.
Yeah, and Bob, they could have been beat by L.A. L.A., you know, they had a couple bad plays. Yeah, they're winning, and they don't clear the puck, and then they tie it and lose it in overtime. You know, but Edmonton has won 6 straight games with coming from behind. They were down 1-0. Last night, but then they had the lead 3-1, 4-2, and then Vegas tied it 4-4, and there was a ton of chances, ton of opportunities for both teams to score, and then it almost went to the whole overtime, almost went to a second overtime, and what happened was one of the Vegas guys in the offensive end got tripped by the Edmonton guy, and that's when the puck went the other way, because Eichel was back on D and McMichael like broke his ankles, you know, and they went in on 2-on-1 McDavid passed it to Draisaitl for the game winner, and you know, Vegas, you know, they're all bitching and complaining about that should have been a penalty, and everybody on NHL radio, kind of like the Orioles, you know, with the play at the plate. You know, it should have been called.
If
it wasn't called.
Replay, I mean, what the hell?
Wasn't
get it
called.
Right.
So it is what it is. Now, I mean, Edmonton goes home up 2-0.
Toronto at Florida tonight. Maple Leafs up 2-0.
Yeah. You talk about must win. I mean, they got to win. Florida's got to win. But the thing is, Bob, with Toronto, I mean, Florida's a real physical team. Toronto was always kind of that soft team. Then they got Berube as a coach who won the Cup in St. Louis, and he gets more physical players and stuff, and they match up extremely well with Florida. If they need to do is split down there and come home up 3-1.
Dallas at Winnipeg, the Stars up 1-0 in that series.
Yeah, and it's in Winnipeg too. So this is kind of the same situation as the Caps were in. It's a must win for Winnipeg. I mean, you gotta win at home. Otherwise, you know, you're going to Dallas. Which Dallas is a tough place to play. So if Winnipeg does, and they're the President's Cup winner. So if they don't win tonight, it could be a quick series.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Whip around here on this Featured Artist Friday. It's the Eagles. All right, real quick, this day in Orioles history, it's May the 9th, 2014, Oriole Park, Camden Yards. Steve Pearce, Manny Machado both hit home runs. Nick Markakis won 3-for-4 with the ribby. Wei-Yin Chen gets the win. Tommy Hunter picked up his 11th save. Orioles would go to the ALCS that year. Last time they've been there, by the way. And then 2 years ago, man, it seems like only, it really does. Like 2023, that season is fun and as glorious as it was, seemed like it was only yesterday. Well, 2 years ago today, Oriole Park, Camden Yards, Orioles beat the Rays. Remember, Orioles were chasing. They were chasing the Rays all summer, finally caught them. And then surpassed them. Adley, 2-run homer. Remember the good old days when he would hit home runs?
Yeah, and already walk.
Off Zach Eflin, no less. Then with Tampa, Grayson Rodriguez got the win. The Mountain picked up his 8th save as the Orioles beat the Tampa Bay Rays on this day 2 years ago, Oriole Park at Camden Yards. We'll come back, talk some NFL with Jason Cole, longtime NFL writer. This little lull period we got. The other teams in the North are having rookie minicamp this weekend. Ravens, that was last weekend. OTA's coming up in about 3 weeks, less than. And, of course, the schedule release is coming out next week. But Jason's always filled with NFL opinions, and that it's a funhouse trip with Nolan McGraw before ripping it with Ryan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Maybe getting them over the hump in the postseason last year. Heartbreaker in Buffalo 2 years ago. Losing at home in the AFC Championship game to the Kansas City Chiefs. So they're so close to getting where they need to get to. And as you're Kyle Van Noy praising Eric DaCosta, you know, hoping that the necessary acquisitions were made to get that done. Now, with Van Noy himself coming off a monster season, and this guy's been a brilliant acquisition.
No doubt.
By the Ravens. I mean, he was literally couching it up. He was on Pat McAfee once a week, sitting on his ass. Yeah. And then the Ravens brought him in, and he, along with Jadeveon Clowney, added oomph to a pass rush that led the NFL in sacks. Last year, Van Noy career high 12 and a half. So, you know, we talked about Derrick Henry. You expect 1,800, 1,900 yards. Well, maybe not, but I don't think 1,500's out of the realm of possibility. And for Kyle Van Noy, if we're putting a expected necessary sack total on him, 12 and a half. By the way, if they duplicate both, great.
Yeah.
But if we try to get realistic, getting it 9 to 10, is he sniffing? Because he was a disruptor, too. He was one of the few that actually was kind of a win rate guy there, too.
Bob, which one of the, either he or Henry, which one do you think reaches what they did this past year? Who has a better chance to?
I'll go Henry.
I'll go Van Noy. I think, and the reason I say that is they have more people, and I think the inside guys, I think Matabike and Travis Jones will be, you know, better. And if they're disrupting things, and, you know, and let's say Mike Green is real good, and let's say Van or Owe is, you know, the 10 sack guy, not the five, you know, then all of a sudden, you know, he's getting singled up. Because the thing that Van Noy does so well is he's so smart. He's extremely smart, knows every counter in the book. So he's going to get a lot of garbage sacks because of that. And he can beat you one-on-one. You know, he gets those young tackles like Pittsburgh's and Cincinnati's and stuff. He can beat them one-on-one because he knows every counter and he's got great hands, got quick hands. And I think they'll be blitzing. I think they'll be a much more aggressive defense. I think we're going to see Kyle Hamilton because even Van Noy talked about, you know, with the addition of Starks, Hamilton can do more stuff. So I think they all realize that too. And with Hamilton blitzing from one side, you know, all of a sudden then the back's picking up that and Van Noy's getting singled. I could see him. I could see him getting double digit.
Yeah, 12 and a half, two forced fumbles, recovered one of those, a couple of pass defense as well. For Henry, we don't want to get off topic here, what Van Noy was talking about with the draft. 19-21, average 6 yards a carry, 5.9, 16 touchdowns. So if he gets 1,700, and as you said, he's like lugging furniture up hills stay in shape. So he didn't look like he was losing his juice at all.
No.
I think what, you know, he's got working in his favor is Lamar's so good at throwing the football and he's so creative at running the ball. It's a pick your poison thing. And with Bateman and Flowers, you know, having, you know, years like they did, likely in Andrews. You don't think Mark Andrews is going to be motivated to do well this
playing
season?
For a contract.
Yeah, I mean, I could see Derrick Henry being a very, 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 very
the
important
biggest
part of
thing,
it.
Bob, is, all right, this past year when he had 1,900 yards, we had Ronnie Stanley who we didn't know was going to be what? We didn't know, right? Left guard.
Voorhees, but unproven.
Then it was McCary, you know, and then Linderbaum, you know, and he was starting the season off hurt, and then right guard didn't have one.
Had a brand new right side of the line.
Yes, and the rookie took a while to get going. So, yeah, I mean, Bob, now you got a much better O-line. So that's why it's, you know, it's going to be interesting, you know, and I think it'll, once we see the schedule, I think that'll make things a little easier because, you know, he wore out Buffalo. Yeah, because he had some long touchdown runs.
Sure.
You know, where he got some big yards and got going early. So if they can get some of those games, and I think the O-line's going to be good. Ronnie Stanley will be much better. You know, I mean, who would have thought, you know, a year ago when we're sitting here, hey, Bob, you know, Falele, he's going to be alternate Pro Bowl at right guard. Yeah, right.
Right.
You know, so yeah, so I think the O-line is going to be much better, which will help Henry.
But getting back to what Van Noy was talking about, the draft, getting them over the hump. I mean, Starks, plug and play, Green, drama aside, and there's plenty of that. You know, if he's, what he led the country in sacks last year, 17 and a half, he, even a semblance of that, to go with Owe and Van Noy, who we just talked about. There are a couple, and Loop's got to be a dude, obviously, because Tucker's gone.
He has to be.
Yeah, so is this draft good enough to separate them, not from the division, but from the Kansas Cities and the Buffaloes, and you know, who knows? There's going to be a team. Maybe it's the Chargers. You know, there's going to be a Houston will play like the team that we all thought they were going to be last year. I mean, that AFC is a beast, man.
Well,
for real.
The biggest thing is, more so than the rookies or what, Bob, when they get in the playoffs, they just got to have their A game. That's the thing. You know, you can't have your A game for two quarters and then have a C game. You know, that's the big, because Lamar seems like he's pretty consistent, you know, and that's going to be the key. And the defense is not going to be as bad as it was to start the season, so we're not going to be in panic mode there at the beginning of the year, which will make life a lot easier for the offense. And the offense is still the number one. A rookie is not helping the offense. There's no rookie that's going to come in and help the offense.
So that's Kyle Van Noy. We're going to hear more from him Monday because he was on NFL Network, NFL Live yesterday. But before we get to the break, Vinny brought this up before we got on the show, and I thought he was reading it up on like some bogus website. Jordan Hudson is banned from football activities at the University of North Carolina, but she's still welcome at the school.
Yeah. They had to put out a statement, Bob. North Carolina put out a statement. While Jordan Hudson is not an employee at the University of North Carolina Athletics, she is welcome to the Carolina football facilities, the school said in a statement. Jordan will continue to manage all activities related to Coach Belichick's personal brand outside of his responsibilities for Carolina football. So, yeah, so anything to do with Carolina football, she had nothing to do with.
But I guess she had interjected herself to the point where it became a concern.
There had to
be more than just her butting in on that CBS. Stupid interview on CBS.
Well, like reading a lot of the articles and stuff, Bob, I mean, his family is like, you're going to ruin his reputation. And he's got one of his sons as the D coordinator right there. So, I mean, hey, Dad, come on, man. You know?
But think about this, too. And Nolan, you get in before we hit the break. He's considered arguably the greatest NFL football coach.
Yeah.
Certainly has more Super Bowls than anyone, but these young kids are looking at him being all henpecked by his girlfriend, who's the same age as maybe a couple of guys on the team.
Oh, no doubt.
You know, these guys. Oh, he's wussy whipped, if
wait,
you will.
Hey, Bob, you
why am I respecting this guy?
You don't think the guys on her team, when she's out there, they're going, I'd like to
rat that rat that tat tat. It's, you know, it's I can, because I'm kind of looking at him in a different light. Like, really?
When we first saw it was like, oh, that's kind of cool. But now she's becoming a pain in the ass.
Yeah. Right. But even when it started, we all knew what was going on. I mean, he's not pulling her off of just raw charisma. Bill Belichick doesn't have charisma. All right. We all know what the story is.
And he's not ripped like, you know, Adonis over there.
No,
he's got a worse body than I do.
It was always about money. And you could at least try to hide it. You know, I mean, sure, show up to events with her. They were at the NFL honors, and she was wearing some skimpy dress or whatever.
It's like, hey, no doubt.
No,
do your thing.
No
you
problem
Hefter
there.
Did it for a bazillion years.
And Nolan, she had to be in the Dunkin' Donuts Super Bowl commercial. If you saw it, she's standing right next to him.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, she is right next to him.
Mm. She's Yoko.
And to not have a story ready for, hey, how'd you guys meet?
Yeah.
Because we all know, again,
it is. On an airplane.
On an airplane, yeah.
I thought she was the juice girl. Anywho, we'll come back, take a trip through the funhouse, Nolan McGraw, and then rip it with Ryan. Talk about those Orioles. Yes, we got to revisit the reality of the baseball team. They've lost 5 in a row. They're 10 games under 500 for the first time in almost 3 years. The Wizard Walt Williams talk about those NBA playoffs that are hot and heavy. The Knicks take 2 in Boston. They don't play tonight, but boy, they're in a strong position for sure. If you're Sagano, you're probably like, gonna be a heartache tonight. Translator, what's that mean? It means you're gonna go 7 innings, give up 3 hits and 2 runs, you're gonna lose. It's gonna be a heartache tonight unless the offense comes alive. Buy or sell 12-15 with counts of dough. And the Wizard Walt Williams talks about the NBA playoffs, which are hot and heavy into these Eastern Conference and Western Conference semifinals. But Vinny, you're off to Happy Valley So tell everyone what's going on in your world here. A big occasion and one that should be celebrated for sure.
Yeah, Vincent, my oldest son, graduates tonight, nuclear engineering, and he's magna cum laude. So, yeah, we're going to have a
lot of brains in that head, man.
Oh, no doubt about it. Yeah. It didn't get it from me. I can tell you that. Becky was a 3.9. Becky was a 3.9, you know. So, yeah, Vincent.
Well, congratulations there, Vincent. Good job there. And so what's he going to do for a living? Nuclear engineering.
Yeah, you know what's tough right now, Bob, is the job market is tough because – and, like, he was going to go to grad school, but they don't have any funding because the government's not giving them funding right now for graduate school. That's number one.
Yes, Trump's too busy trying to be Pope.
And then number two, all the people that have gotten laid off because, you know, a lot of federal workers that have got laid off for nuclear engineering and companies, they're hiring those people more so than kids right out of college because they have experience. So right now it's a little bit of a struggle.
Well, you know, Box Hill.
Yeah.
Because I think they're about to raise the server wage to 15 plus tips, if I read that correctly. If I was 40 years younger, I'd be in the restaurant bit because I'm too old to do that now, and I hate people. I'd be yelling and screaming at customers. Your customer's always wrong in my world. But you can make a ton of dough waiting for your applied trade to come to fruition just doing that. That's an honest living, man. And you can make a lot of money doing that. Service industry, tip of the cap to you, man, for sure.
That's what I told him, like Ruth Chris or something.
Do
you know?
It, bro. You'll make a ton. I mean, I know guys that have, you know, my buddy Brian Fury at Prime Rib. He makes a lot of money in the restaurant business.
He did interview at a place like 10 day, or a week ago, Bob, and he's waiting to hear back from them. And one of the guys that he interviewed with, you know, from the company, higher up guy, was a Penn State alum. You know, maybe that'll help.
So congratulations, Vincent.
Congratulations,
great Vincent. Accomplishment. What are you doing for Mother's Day?
Mother's Day? We hadn't even thought. We're kind of on the Vincent train right now, you know, and we got a dinner tomorrow night for Vincent. And then Sunday, I guess whatever she wants, we'll do.
That's always a good answer right there. All right,
always deflect,
what do you got going on?
We'll do a little dinner on Sunday. Dad's cooking on the grill, so that's always good.
That's awesome. It's going to be a great weekend weather-wise. I mean, today looks like it's clearing up a little bit, so we might have a pleasant weekend.
Now, maybe afraid, I'm going to regret this in a second to say this out loud, but I have not done the Mother's Day shopping yet. I'm struggling for ideas over here. It's an annual tradition.
Well, I pulled a fast one. And my wife don't fall for my BS anymore. She's been around for 30 years. We're going to the casino. I said, $300 is our limit. Either it turns into a lucrative one like it did 2 weeks ago, or we lose $300. That's the present. There's nothing else. That's it. But like maybe 5 or 6 years ago, I'm all hungover, believe it or not. I'm like, what's up, man? She goes, what'd you get me for Mother's Day? I'm like, oh, it's in the car.
I'll be right back.
Yeah, it's like, presents in the car. Bet she heard me. What I got her like a yoga mat. She's like, why did you just bring me home a vacuum cleaner, too? Happy Mother's Day. All right, we got time for a fun house?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Quick Draws Fun House.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
105.7 The Fan.
Start with Eric in Bel Air. Says, replay so poorly done in all the major sports. But what I would have liked to have seen after the game is a little fight from Brandon Hyde. You know, maybe call out the umpires, the replay officials. Should have been up front in the press conference, blasted MLB for failing. Rubenstein can cover the fine if it comes to that. Inept replay review and Hyde's lack of caring are getting old.
I don't think to say he doesn't care is completely false.
Yeah, no.
He's the one that eats the turd burger with the media literally every day after they lose. But was it a blown call at the plate? Sure. Manny Gonzalez. But that's what replay's there for, to get his back. And Ramirez was Ramirez, right? No, who? I can't remember. Who was the guy for the Orioles?
Third baseman.
Yeah. That
yeah,
guy.
Come
on.
Rivera.
Rivera. He slides, gets the left hand under the tag, and it looked like the tag got him on the back of his arm. So I think there was clear and present video evidence that showed he was safe, but yet that request was dismissed, and that's all. They were 2-for-13 with runners in scoring position, though. Let's not bury the lead.
And this one over here says the season is toast at this point. No rational fan can think otherwise. Even if and when the bats do show improvement, wouldn't surprise me if the pitching continues to drag it down or starts to drag it down at that point. Selling off will commence in July, but firing the right people and spending the proper money in the offseason could easily change the outlook for 2026.
Well, they're going to have to spend, but let's look at it this way, too. Henderson, Holiday, Kerstad, Mayo, Rutschman. You've got a nucleus of players. You got to get Grayson Rodriguez right, if that's even going to be possible. You've got to invest in pitching, and I'm against spending money on pitching, but they might not have any other choice this offseason, because if this keeps going on the way it is, Eplin's going to get traded. He's going to a contender, and so will Dominguez and Soto and all of these other pending free. Maybe Sagano gets the Gonzo. And then you just, we talked about it, you flush this, but 2026, you come back with people on hot seats because David Rubenstein's not getting any younger, and if he's willing to spend, you know, he is like the players with the agents. The agent works for the player. Elias works for Rubenstein, and if Rubenstein wants to get aggressive, and I don't know what the free agent class looks like off the top of my head for 26, got to do something.
Yeah,
I'm ready to just see it. This one's over. You're done. Bye-bye. I hope I'm wrong.
Rubenstein can do what Dan Snyder did to me. You know, he said, look at your paycheck. Whose name's on the bottom of that? It's not yours. Yep. It's mine.
And unlike Dan, he's not in his 40s.
That's true.
In his mid-70s. Yeah. Like, and he even said, hey, I won a World Series, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes, kind of, sort of, to get there.
Plus, he's, at least the way he's presented himself, is that of a fan. He's a local guy.
Sure.
Like, I understand that, sure, the previous ownership regime was technically local, but how often did we have to hear the nonsense about, oh, they're moving the team to Nashville and all that other, all the rumors of that? You're not going to hear that with Rubenstein.
No.
Because he's already made it clear that the foundation is here in Baltimore. So it's not like it's just some random billionaire. At least there is some local tie. The Cal Ripken involvement. Again, it's an ownership group. It's not just one singular family.
Right. And look, and I know everybody pines for Cal. Last I checked, and his son's coming in here in a couple of minutes, he's never run a baseball team before. No. So it's not like he's got three worlds. He's not Pat Gillick. Let's put it in perspective. Does he know the game? Obviously. But, you know, has ever run a franchise before?
Well, he wasn't brought in just for his wallet. He's offering he's offering some insight.
Yeah. No doubt.
Yeah.
I mean, he's sitting there. You could see him sitting at the games if Masson didn't have that big stupid thing blocking the left corner of the TV. Put your scroll. All right, David Rubenstein, if you're listening, we got to get a break here because we are at the top of the hour. By the way, you're listening to 105.7 The Fan. Put the score on the bottom. There you go. I mean, we can't watch Cal and his disgruntled face when, you know, the Orioles are losing. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Vinny, safe trip.
Thank you.
Congratulations to Charlie. Happy Mother's Day, Dr. Serrato. We'll come back, ripping it with Ryan. Take your phone calls at 410-583-1057. It's Featured Artist Friday. It's the Eagles here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.